The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Well, good to see you here. Welcome to New Beginnings Church. Jim's back. I don't know how, but he is. I don't know how he had bypass surgery a week and a half ago, to show up in church, but that's why he was a commander in the Navy. You know, he pushes through, right? Never give up. So, it's good to see you, Jim. You're a precious guy. We hate it when you're suffering. I told him that we're going to change the name of the church from New Beginnings Church to New Beginnings Church and Outpatient Center. Oh, people are walking around. Hurt my wrist. But anyway, we're here to worship the Lord, not talk about our sicknesses. Let's pray the Lord is going. Father, how good you are. How good you are. Your mercies, Lord, are higher than the heavens, deeper than the seas, larger than the whole universe itself. And you've taken those mercies and poured them out upon us without measure. And we thank you, Lord. Thank you that we have doctors in medicine that can do wonderful things today. And so we thank you. We pray for Jim's healing. We pray for Camille as she's got a foot issue. And Lord, ask you to heal her foot and make her well. Be with all of us. And let our worship today be a sweet, sweet smelling savor in your very throne, Lord. Lord, let everything that's said and done in this place today bring honor and glory unto you. For this is our prayer. In the name of Jesus, all the kids said,
amen.
All right, let me know. You're in charge.
Thank you. Out of Zion. Yeah. You. Magnificent God. Shalom at Spanish Church. It's Magnifico Dios, Magnifico Rey, Te adoro, Te adoro. That means we adore you, Lord. I love the words in English and I love them in Spanish. Magnifico Dios, He's certainly our magnificent God. Magnificent God, we adore you, Lord. We adore you, Lord. Our strength is in you, our hope. All of our hope is in you.
Draw me, Lord, and I'll run.
We thank you, Lord. Thank you that you found us. And that we now drink of the living water. That we now rest with you. That we're now seated in heavenly places. That we were without hope in the world. But now we have hope beyond this world. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. You are the magnificent God. Worthy of praise and honor, for all creation worships you. And we add our voices to the rocks and shout them down, saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. We praise you, Lord, in the midst of the storms, on the beautiful days, in the valleys, on the mountaintops, in the highest and lowest places of our lives. We worship you, Lord. Blessed be thy name, O God, forever and ever and ever. Blessed be thy name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Bless thy name, Lord. Amen, amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. How great is the Lord, and how greatly to be praised. Amen. I don't know if any of you had a chance to see Jensen Franklin this morning. Anybody saw him? He had his mother. He invited his mother up on the platform. And he was talking about going to the household of the Lord and raising your kids in the household of the Lord. And what a blessing that is. And I thought about that. And, you know, I know some folks think the church is kind of out of vogue and maybe church is a little too much trouble and maybe church has some bad things said about it. But I'll tell you what, I'll just talk about myself, all right? Since Pat and I found the Lord, we've been in church. You probably count on one hand. I only have one hand, so I told you to do. The times that we weren't in church on the weekend or during the week or something. It's something about the fellowship. You know, listening to these songs of Zion, the old ones, but the new ones too. They just minister to you on the inside. Do something to you on the inside that you can't get done anywhere else. And I just love church. I love church people. I like church language. I like the things that we do that are right. I even like the things we do wrong because we get a chance to correct them. You know, when we find out we've been wrong, and God will correct us and get us on the right path. And I appreciate all of you, faithful members of this place called New Beginnings Church, and you're here every Sunday, and I thank God for you. I really do. Wasn't for you, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't. I mean, you're the only reason I'm here. I'd be in church somewhere else, I can guarantee you that, if I wasn't here. But I'm glad I can be here, especially this week since I banged up my hand and my wrist and had to go get an x-ray and doctored up. And I'm doing better, though. Doing really good. I was... The day before yesterday, I wasn't doing so good, but yesterday, like a wave of healing just hit me, and I showed Pat I could move my wrist again. So I've got this on for safety, you know, just in case. But right now, I'm not having any pain, so I thank the Lord for that. If you want to know what's wrong, you have to be a doctor. You showed me an x-ray. I hate to see x-rays if it's on the inside of you. Nobody. And I just don't think that's in there, but it is. All those bones and that. And there are two bones in my wrist that are supposed to be right next to each other. And for some reason, they separated. I don't know whether they had a fight, you know, it was a husband and wife deal. I don't know why, but they separated themselves. And when they separated, they let me know. All right? So that's what happened to me. And Pat had to drive me to the doctor's. He can't drive right now. And so I said, well, when's it going to heal? And he said, never. I said, that's it. But the ligaments and the nerves and all of that subside. They're out of shock. And he said, you won't have any more problem with it. So I'm really not having any problems. So thank God for that. Thank God for doctors and medicine and things you can take and make you well. And we're going to pray for you later, Miss Camille. We push your heart. Yeah. What is that thing your mother said? If it's not one thing, it's your mother, huh? Always something going on. But you know, God's still on the throne. Pat's daddy used to call this when, you know, getting sick and hurt. He said, it's committing suicide on the installment plan. You know, it's a little at a time we hurt ourselves. But God hadn't changed. His word hadn't changed. Healing's still available. And let me tell you what, I have no issues with taking medication and going to doctors. I'd like to be healed instantaneously all the time, and I have, and I know that many of you can testify to that, but it's nice to have a doctor and insurance and money and to cover the deductibles to get well. So we worship the Lord for that. And I wish you were all well, but we're getting better because we're getting closer to home.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
Billy Graham wrote a book called Getting Closer to Home. I think was the title of it, something like that. So, with that said, today's topic is, it's not what you might think about. I'm not here to talk about abortion. I want to talk about what are we going to do now that, at least in Louisiana, we're like a ping pong ball right now. But as I understand it right now, that it's illegal to perform abortion in Louisiana. So thank God for that. But that's not what I'm here to talk about. We're talking about what do we do now? You know, we're in this post-Roe v. Wade world. I spoke about it some last week, and I want to continue that conversation today and for a couple of weeks. But my good friend and your good friend, Cindy Collins, was on TV this week. And so how many of you saw her on TV? Oh, lucky you, because with the wonders of the internet, I'm going to show you that news report, all right? So, Jim, if you'll crank that up. Jim Corbin, you're my superhero. You are a superhero. Underneath those suspenders is a big S for superhero. So, Jim, if you'll show that video, we'll enjoy.
Mayor Cantrell is against the outcome of that hearing today. Look at this. A protest took place right in front of the mayor's home. This was earlier tonight. This at pregnancy resource centers throughout Louisiana. They are bracing for a possible uptick in expecting mothers needing assistance. WDSU News reporter Shay O'Connor joins us live from New Orleans with more on that story. Shay?
Stella, that is right. Now, there are tons of resource centers available for expecting moms. Their hope to provide alternatives to those who may be feeling helpless at this time. This is protests continue throughout our state.
You don't care if people die.
From Baton Rouge to here in New Orleans. Community members making their voices heard following Friday's news that abortions are now banned in the state.
It's hard for me to believe that the Supreme Court has now null and voided all the work that we did after 50 years.
Even outside of Mayor LaToya Cantrell's home, they're demanding state police leave New Orleans.
But the Louisiana State Police can still investigate and make arrests of people trying to seek or perform abortion health care. Mayor Cantrell almost solely has the power to get Louisiana State Police out of New Orleans.
We have baby clothing from newborn all the way to 12 months, cribs, car seats, blankets,
Meanwhile, nonprofits are gearing up for the possibility of more expecting moms seeking help given the ban.
We have seen many women that have been hurt by abortion and the aftermath, and we want the women to know that there's help.
The Crisis Pregnancy Help Center in Slidell is one of several local organizations that are offering resources and help for women. Cindy Collins founded the center after she had an abortion as a teen.
We provide free pregnancy tests, help for medical care, housing referrals, work referrals, counseling, ultrasound, anything that that woman needs to help her. Also healing from life situations.
That includes moms who have already had an abortion and may need a sanctuary of comfort.
In this memorial, these are baby shoes that represent babies that have been aborted. We do healing after abortion. It's called Redemptive Beauty.
A place of peace and hope while the debate rages on.
Defend abortion rights!
Like we said earlier, several resource centers or many resource centers available for expecting moms. Centers like Embrace Grace, Crossroads, I mean, the list goes on. You can visit our website, WDSU.com, for that full list of resources. Reporting live from New Orleans, Shay O'Connor, WDSU News.
All right, Shay.
Right there.
That was great.
That was good. That was good. Pat, do you have that that thing from Louisiana Family Forum? Yeah. Let me have one. I want you to pass those out if you don't mind. We'll get somebody else to do it for you since you're running the camera. Louisiana Family Forum, my friend Gene Mills from Baton Rouge sent this out. So I made a copy of it for you. I'm going to let you read it. I'm not doing a sermon, but for the moment you can look at it. And if you look down towards the middle of the page, these are some of the things that happened in Baton Rouge this last legislative session. Senate Bill 342, Senator Katrina Jackson ensures that Louisiana abortion laws are properly positioned for post-Roe Louisiana, and increase the penalties for performing abortions. We soundly defeated this attempt to add exceptions for rape and incest to the bill. When we were up there, we went into the committee meetings where this was being discussed. Senate Bill 388 by Sharon Hewitt makes the illegal sale of dangerous chemical abortion drugs a felony and prohibits mail order abortions. So that is the law in Louisiana. In fact, that's on the governor's desk, I believe, to be signed at the moment. But they don't think he's going to sign it. We just kind of just let it go through without his signature. So House Bill 274, Representative Rick Edmonds, expanded adoption education in public schools. Senate Bill 104 by Senator Beth Mitzel. Boy, she is a dynamite woman. You know, does she live down in this area, Pat?
I think she lives in Vanderbilt.
Maybe one day we'll bring her in and let her speak. She's an amazing woman. Prohibits abortion providers from interfering with patient phone calls within the facility. So that if someone was in an abortion clinic, they're interfering with them calling out. So she put in a law for that. House Bill 93 expresses honor for the compassionate efforts provided by pregnancy care centers throughout Louisiana. Louisiana Family Forum was successful in killing a mean-spirited attack directed at those same crisis pregnancy centers. And it goes on, there's some more things, I'm not going to read them all, but it gives you an idea that some really good things are going on. I've said some pretty negative things about the Louisiana legislation when I was involved with the casino, but as my seminary professor taught me, just because a person's wrong about one thing doesn't mean they're wrong about everything. And by and large, Louisiana does a good job of passing legislation for families. And thank God for Gene Mills and the work that he does in that particular area. So just trying to give you some information. And I want to talk about...
I want to mention real quick, Sharon Hewitt, who also did...
Wait, Pat, nobody can hear you except you.
Hi, Sharon. I just want to mention... I just wanted to mention the blessing of knowing that two of the main people that... that are doing this legislation is Sharon Hewitt and Beth Mitzel, and they're both from our part of the state.
Yes.
That God is blessing this area. Sharon lives here, and Beth lives somewhere around Mandeville, Covington, but she's in St. Tammany Parish. So I just feel like that's, you know, again, God showing himself that he's here and answering our prayers, and that as we honor him, that he honors us, puts the right people in the right places. So I just wanted to mention that.
That's good. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. So let's talk about a post-Roe v. Wade world. And I'm going to give a little flipper here. And today's subject... specifically is intervention of God in our lives. And I use this graphic because it shows all of these willing hands reaching out to this pregnant mother. All right? That's my interpretation of this. And that's why I selected this visual for you to watch as we have it up here. So, let's go to the book of John, and we're going to go through a passage of scripture that's very familiar to you, but I want to give you maybe a little different perspective of it. John 4, chapters, verses 4 through 7. Now, he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the day's journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour when a Samaritan woman came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word preserved down through the ages that we could have it today. I ask you to let your word touch our lives and inspire us. Give us new thoughts and ideas by the power of the Holy Spirit, not only to worship and serve you, but to be involved in the solutions of problems that are going to show up and are showing up now that Roe v. Wade has been overturned. So we thank you, Father, and we praise you in the wonderful name of Jesus. And all the kids said,
Amen.
Amen. In our post-Roe v. world, we need to come up with innovative biblical methods to help women with unwanted pregnancies. We need to come up with innovative ideas. There are solutions to problems that we don't know those solutions yet. But through God's word and through our collective mindset, we will have some solutions. So, we've really, we're kind of like the, this is a poor illustration, but you'll get the message. We're kind of like the dog that chases after trucks. And finally, one day he catches one. Well, then what does he do with it? Well, we've been talking against abortion for many years now. Well, now that that's come to fruition, at least in our state, what are we going to do about it? That's the purpose of this series that I want to talk to you about. First of all, these women who are pregnant are not evil. Now, they're not the devil, you know, incarnate or anything like that. These are women who are in trouble. they have an unwanted, unplanned for pregnancy. The reasons are plentiful, but let's go over a couple of them. Probably unmarried. All right? That's most of the abortions happen with people who aren't married. Not all, but the majority. They're too young to start a family. Teenagers, 15, 16, 17, 18. You might say, well, what are they doing pregnant? Well, that's another subject for another day. You know, this is the reality of where we are. And so what are we, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, going to do about it? All right? They're pregnant and their parents object to it. And I'll tell you, some parents have been very, very hard on daughters who have gotten pregnant and force abortions on them, all right? You know, or throw them out. You know, it's not always an easy task. Absent father, the boy or the man who impregnated the girl just took off. You know, he doesn't care. And if you think that doesn't happen, you're living in a dream world. I had a good friend in Houston when I worked there, and he dated a lot. He was very promiscuous, and one of the girls that he dated was pregnant. And she came to him about it, and he told her, it's not my problem.
Wow.
I said, I don't even notice my baby. I don't know you're not having sex with somebody else. And she really tried to get him to help her, and he didn't help her at all. I don't have the end of the story other than she left Houston and went back to her family, I believe, which was in California at the time. So it happens, all right? So, they're either don't care or won't help, or walked away and looking for another girl, all right? That's just the way our world is in many ways today. Finances, the difficulties of it. You know what it costs to raise a child today? A whole lot of money, all right? Not just the pregnancy, but after that, you know, taking care of the kids, getting them to doctors, getting them clothes, formula, you know, all of that stuff is very, very expensive. And all of you here have raised children, but you raised that children when it was cheap. Try doing it today. Go look at what a formula would cost you. You want to talk about the shortages of formula? You know, if a box of cereal, I found a box of cereal that I like. I can't buy it here, so I thought I'd buy it on the internet. In Costco's, it's $12 a box. On the internet, it's $23 a box. I didn't buy it. It's just cereal for me. Can you imagine buying stuff for a child? Some children need special formulas because their digestive tracts don't work with mama's milk, you know, that kind of a thing. So, and finally, in my little short list here, this girl, this woman, believes that abortion is her only solution. You know why she believes that? Because it's been taught that way in schools. It's been taught to them in magazines and in music that they, you know, are indoctrinated with. And then they, well, the only thing to do is just get an abortion. Well, if Cindy were here and talking to a pregnant girl, which she does all the time, she would explain to them that there are alternatives and that the worst decision you're going to make is to have that abortion because of the physical and emotional, not to mention the spiritual impact of what you do when you take the life of a baby in the womb. So, as believers in Jesus Christ, we've got a job to do. And we need to make sure that these pregnant women find out about other solutions. Now, I realize that this is an older congregation and that we're busy. It's an old movie said, staying alive. And we don't have all the energy in the world to do a lot of other things, but I'm going to bring to you some things that we can do, all right? So we can't do everything, but we can do something, all right? So, so we must offer solutions to her problems and not add problems to her situation. It's just a girl, just a woman who's pregnant that needs help. They probably, and I'm guessing many of them that are pregnant, wouldn't have the money to go to another state to get an abortion if they wanted to. All right? So what we're going to do is try to find a way to inform them. She needs acceptance from us and needs to understand, probably more than our acceptance, need to understand that God cares. I'm little Johnny One Note. And my Johnny One Note is this. I believe God has a solution to all problems. I really do believe that. And I'm just not religious rhetoric from a pastor. I'm telling you, I believe that with all my heart, that God is a solution to every problem. Not some, but every problem. So we're going to offer the physical needs that need to be taken care of. But meeting the physical needs and not meeting the spiritual needs doesn't do a whole lot of good. All right? It's kind of hard to talk to a starving man about God loving them until you give them something to eat. You know, they can't hear you. So that's our situation and our dilemma. And I'm not the only one who's thinking about this. There are others, Cindy being one that you saw in that news report. So we're going to take a look at the Samaritan woman today at the well and see how Jesus dealt with her issues of rejection, lack of knowledge, and the solution that he offered to her, and how that application works in our subject matter today, all right? So we're going to go through this. First of all, Jesus saw her needs and offered help. He's the hand reaching down to a woman who's drowning in problems. She's drowning in problems. It won't go away. That baby won't go away. In fact, if she doesn't do anything, she's going to have a baby, all right? Unless some physical malady happens. So let's look a little closer at what we just read. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. That's about noon. It's in the heat of the day, all right? By the way, this is parenthetical, but we know Jesus is God and all that. He got tired like everybody else. He worked hard. He was tired. He went on a journey. He was walking on his journey. Wouldn't even drive. We'd drive someplace in the car and get there and say, "Oh, I'm so tired." Let's try walking it. See how tired you'd be. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" We need to understand and persuade the expectant mother that God knows about her situation and has sent help. I told a guy one time I was trying to lead him to the Lord, and I told him that God loved him, and he didn't quite get that. I said, "God sent help to rescue you." And he said, "Where's the help?" I said, "You're looking at it. Now, I am the help. You may not think it's much, but God sent me here." He said, "Well, you didn't even know me." "No, but I knew God, and God called me to come out, not to use specifically my name, but to bring help to people." You know, just kind of changed his mind about the way, about the guy who was talking to him that day. So we need to do that. We need to bring forth the message that God wants to help. But he can't help people if they're not willing to receive help. So our job is to persuade them that they need help, and that we want to help in some way, form, shape, or another. Not that we're not going to be offering the solution that most pregnant women, without God in particular, know about. So we're going to bring information, and we're going to bring help. We're going to bring the Holy Spirit into that particular environment. What can she do? There are some things that she can do and some things that she must do. This is not something that's going to heal itself. You know, it's not going to get better. It's getting better. The baby is growing exponentially within her womb, multiplying cells like crazy. And so what can she do? Well, we have to offer her some help. She needs to get medical help. She needs to have some financial help. She needs emotional help. And she needs spiritual help. And we can do all of those things. She has ability to do some things, and she is of great value to God. One of the major problems that our world has today is believing that they have no value. That's why all the things I love about St. Tammany, what I hate about St. Tammany, is the highest or second highest rate of suicide in the state of Louisiana. Happens right here in one of the richest parishes in the state of Louisiana. Why is that? People are desperate. Nobody cares about them. They're throwaways. That's what they think about themselves. And so, and by the way, I believe last year there were like 43 or 45 suicides. And you say, oh gee, that's not very many. That doesn't take into account the over 5,000 that tried to kill themselves. And I know that from working at the coroner's office, all right? So there's a lot of people who try to kill themselves who are just not very good at it. It's like y'all remember Phil Huggins from yesteryear? Well, he's a young man that got saved in jail, and he's got a long story. But he came and he shared his testimony. He said, I am a murderer. Since I'm just not very good at it. He said, I tried to kill people, but I didn't do it. So thank God he didn't, and he got out of jail. That's another story. Well, you know, this thing about helping people, they need help. And we help from God is a two-way street. Okay? It's a two-way street. What can you do for yourself, and what can God do for you? Jesus ran into some blind guys one day, and I love this story. I'm not going to preach on it, but it came to my mind. I put it down in my notes. And Jesus asked the blind guys, he said, what can I do for you? If I'd have been there, I said, what, are you crazy? You know what I need. I'm blind as a bat, and I need to see. Sometimes you need to ask people what they need. What can you do for them? To get that information and show their willingness to communicate with you. Dialogue is one of the most important things that we're missing in our world today. You can't have dialogue, forgive me, those of you on Facebook and on YouTube, you can't have dialogue on this electronic media. You know they created this thing called emojis? You know why they created those? So that you can add some emotion to the unemotional things that you're typing. I can't tell you, when emails first came out and we started exchanging email, then I had people get mad at me. They said, well, you said this, and I could tell you were angry. And I said, I wasn't angry, I was just giving information. So now we have little emojis. We can put little hearts and smiley faces so people know we're not upset with them. So we need to be compassionate and caring and let people know that we care about them. Jesus knew what they wanted, but he wanted them to say it. And one of the things, and again, I'm not a psychologist nor a psychiatrist, but I've studied enough to know a little bit. But one of the things you have to do with people is get them talking about what their problems are. So, and many times people were talking about their problems, come up with their own solutions. So the dialogue and communication is very, very important. We need to tell them that help is on the way. This story is one of the most amazing stories in the Bible. When we say go to Samaria, we think, oh, okay, who's going to Samaria? For a Jew to go to Samaria, this is not going to happen. These are a bunch of half-breed, throwaway, worthless people in the mind of the Jews. And they wouldn't go there. I've said this before, but if you're down in Jerusalem, down in that area, and you want to go up to Galilee, you have to go through Samaria, or you have to be going up straight, take a right turn, go that way, then go north, and then go back the way you came from, and not walk in through Samaria. That's what they did. They walked out of their way, a long, arduous journey, to not go through it. And Jesus said, we must go to Samaria. If I was one of the boys with him, I'd say, what's the matter with him? Doesn't he know? Doesn't he know? Of course he knew. But why was he going? Well, we know now it was this woman who was in trouble, and Jesus went to see her. We, in thinking about, even if we're not doing it specifically ourselves, we need to think about people and be poised to help them some kind of way. Jesus went where the problem was. We can't sit on our laurels and wait for somebody else to do it. This is our job. We've been praying about and passionately praying about ending abortion. Well, Louisiana has ended. So now we got a job to do. All right? And we need to let these folks know that we care about them. Jesus was sitting in the heat of the day waiting, and this woman shows up. Help people receive God's assistance, beginning with they have value to God. That's the number one place to start. If people think that they have value to God, then they're open to the solutions that God would provide. You ought to know, if you were in a dialogue with someone, you ought to know enough about the scriptures to be able to tell someone how much God loves them. Not just, oh, God loves you, but why? How? How does he demonstrate that love? If a guy meets a girl and he falls in love with her and he says, I love you, when he says that, what she's thinking is, how do you love me? Barrett Brown wrote sonnets about that. How do I love thee? Let me count the ways, you know. Your actions need to be there. And if someone, we tell people that God loves them, how does he love them? What does he do? And as I said earlier, one of the easiest things to do is, because I'm here talking to you, telling you about this. Why am I spending my time talking to you? Because God loves you and he sent me to talk to you. Now, so, if they realize their value to God, it will help them overcome feelings of guilt about their situation. How did I get in this mess? Why did I fool around with that guy? You know, why is God doing this to me? And I didn't have faith in God, but blame it on God. You know? And now I can't have an abortion, and it's you pro-life people that's causing my problem. Because I need an abortion. What am I supposed to do? That's when you start offering some godly solutions. And we need to have solutions. I'm not going to give you a complete list today because I don't know the complete list, but I'm working at finding out the complete list. And it's your job individually, as well as my job, to start getting involved. You know, all the research you do and all the stuff you fool with on the internet, start looking for good websites that are offering good ideas, and let's start gathering those ideas together. Maybe you'll learn something you never thought about before and passing that off to me and to others. So Jesus saw her and went to her, right? Jesus showed her solutions were flawed. Her solutions were flawed. The woman is pregnant and wants an abortion. That's her solution. But it's flawed. And so she needs to see that. in verses 9 through 12, the Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" And the scripture says parenthetically, "For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Okay? Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Her response is pretty good. "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep." What is she doing? She's using reasoning, knowledge, and information that she has. She didn't know who she's talking to. And when you're talking to a woman who's pregnant and dealing with that situation, she doesn't know what you know. And she's going to fall. Her fallback position is, "Hey, man, this well's deep. You know? And you don't have a bucket. And how are you going to get water over there? Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flock and his herds?" So she gives the best response that she can give. And when the woman who's pregnant today, who doesn't know God, she's going to give the best solution she knows. And it may not make you happy to hear what she has to say. Because she's probably angry, she's probably upset. And so the inadequate earthly understandings and solutions need to be removed in order to help her. You know, it's okay to tell people they're wrong if they're wrong. Seriously. If a guy's thinks that it's safe to jump off a cliff, and you're there, you could say, "Excuse me, you know that'll hurt, you know?" You say, "Well, I can fly." Well, you're wrong about that, all right? You may think you can fly, but you can't fly. That's giving good information, all right? Now, that's an extreme idea, but the truth is that this woman at the well had the wrong information, and we, the church, need to provide right information for people who are in trouble. They need a solution, and we need to provide that solution. She saw her poor self. She showed her poor self-worth. What do you mean? And I'm a pro-choice person. You've got all the money and all the influence in the world. I'm poor and broke. You know, we got nothing in common, pal. That's the situation you're dealing with. That's what this woman said. What are you doing talking to me? You're not asking me for anything. Want a drink of water? You're not even supposed to be talking to me. She knew that. So, what do I have to offer you? How can you ask for a drink? So she said, "I've got nothing to offer." And you talk to a girl who's pregnant and ask her, what can she do? She could say, "I can't do anything but get rid of this thing inside of me." That's the only thing she knows. So some kind of way, we've got to persuade her that her information is incorrect. You know, when Cindy was talking on that interview, and I thought the picture was great. Cindy is in the closet over at the Crisis Help Center, and she had stuff all around her that could help a pregnant woman or somebody who just had a baby. She's got resources over there. So we have resources that we can share with someone who's in trouble, and it'll be emotional, spiritual, financial, physical, whatever we can do and are able to do. Jesus asked her to evaluate her solution and give it to him in exchange for his solution. He said, if you knew, get those three words in your mind. Said, if you knew, let me back up this right here. Right here. If you knew. She didn't know. And he knew she didn't know. So you've got to get to that. You don't know what we can do for you. But I'm here to tell you that his help is here and help is coming in an even greater way. So if you knew the gift of God, the number one thing that we always have to deal with is a spiritual issue. If you knew how much God cared about you and about that baby in your womb, you wouldn't be thinking about the way you're thinking right now. That's what Jesus said to her, basically, in a different topic. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink. He said, Jesus was talking to the Pharisees one day. And he really, you know, he was pretty good about slamming wrong information. He said, you read the scriptures because you think that in them you will find life. He said, those scriptures are talking about me, and I'm right here, and you won't receive me. I'm right here. What you're looking for is here. And what we can say, what you're looking for, the solution you're looking for, I have that solution. Jesus had the solution. We can introduce people to Jesus and help with that solution. It becomes a job of using the scriptures to persuade that. And you need to have some scriptures prearranged that you can share with someone, okay? If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, what would happen? You would ask him, and he would give you living water. So we introduce Christ into the conversation and the solutions that he has, and he will give her the solutions and a way to have a child successfully and to take care of all the details from having a baby, taking care of a baby, putting a baby up for adoption, making amends with families, the father, the child. It's just a multiplicity of things that can be done. We may not know all the answers, but we know that there are answers and we can bring them up. She only had an earthly solution, and she made the argument that Jesus should know that there was no other solution. You have no way with you to draw water out of this well. It's too deep and you can't do it. Where are you going to get this living water? Now, when we're talking to anyone, if we're doing a one-on-one, realize that the Holy Spirit is always working with us. Of ourselves, we cannot do anything. Paul said, I didn't come to you with persuasive words of wisdom, but I came to you with a demonstration of the power of the Word of God. The Word of God can do miraculous things. It has in the past, and it will in the future. God does things that you wouldn't think possible when he gets involved in a situation and causes miracles to take place, answers to take place, solutions to take place that people never thought of. But it's the power of God that does it, and we bring God and his solution into the situation. A pregnant woman may not feel worthy to seek God and ask for help. And go back to what I said earlier. It's our job to present God in such a way that people want to be near him. We sang that song this morning, Draw Me Near, you know. Draw me near. Well, God wants to draw us near, but sometimes we have to move in that direction. And we have to help people. One of the things that I've learned through the years, you can tell people about how they can be saved. You can tell them why God can come into their life. You can tell them about what a change God made in your life. But until you get them to move on that information, it doesn't do them any good. And the way you get them to move on that information is you ask a question like, would you like Christ to come into your life? You'd ask a woman, would you like it if God entered into your life and helped you with this situation? They're probably looking for any port in the storm. They can't get this. What they want to do, they have no bucket and they have no way to get the water out of the well. But the water that will solve the problem is Christ Jesus himself. He said, if you would ask me, I would give you living water. What is living water? It's water that contains life and gives hope to the hopeless. Have you ever been hopeless where there was, you saw no way out and you prayed and God showed you an escape route? It took you out of that situation? We've all experienced that. Now, to the naysayers, there's always naysayers who say, well, God didn't help me with this. Well, maybe he didn't help you with this, but he helped you with that. God doesn't solve all of our problems the way we want them solved, but God is involved in our lives. And this is a horrible story, but I'm going to tell it to you anyway. It's a different context, but I heard it this morning. I believe it was David Jeremiah told the story. See, while I'm getting dressed to come over here, I've got my own sermon, but I like to get pumped up from other guys too, get my thing going. This guy was in his car, and he was going over a railroad track, and the car stalled. And he tried to crank it, and it wouldn't start, and he noticed a train coming around the bend, very close to him, bearing down. The engineer's honking on the horn, you know, it's got the brakes on, but it's obvious the train is not going to stop. The guy goes to get his seatbelt loose. He can't get it loose. You know, he's fighting it. You ever try to get a seatbelt off in an emergency? You know, it's not always easy to do. And unbeknownst to him, he feels a crash, and it's a truck behind him, saw the situation, pushed him out of the way. The train hit the truck with the guy behind him. And David Jeremiah said, that's what Christ does. He sacrifices himself for our safety. And he said, can you imagine how grateful to God that person would be? That guy would be? He gets out of the car and he sits there and he sees the wreck right before his very eyes, and he's in wonderment how his life got saved and how somebody would do that for him. He says, and he hears a noise like a child. And he realizes it's coming out of his car. And he pops the trunk. Unbeknownst to him, one of the kids was playing, one of his children was playing, and climbed in the trunk to play hide and seek. So not only was his saved, but his child was saved too. See, God does things exceedingly abundantly above and beyond anything we can think or ask. Lord, would you give me some living water? You and I are the messengers of this story to someone who's in desperate need. They're on the railroad tracks. The train's coming. They see no way out of their situation. Amen. And you push them off the track. In this case, I guess Jeremiah didn't say this, but it just came to my mind. Not only did the girl get saved, but the baby in her womb just like the baby in the trunk. Friends, we have solutions that work, but they're all centered around Christ. Psychological ideas, the world's plans are not good enough, but Christ is more than sufficient to meet every need of every pregnant woman who would want to have an abortion and can't have it in the state of Louisiana. And it's our job to make sure that she finds out about the living water that comes free without charge to meet her needs. You remember a couple of years ago, I think when I first met you, Camille, we had the big rally here about the pregnancy, you know, thing, and it was the church was full, and if I remember right, it was there that a woman who had adopted a baby who the mother decided not to have the abortion had the baby, and this other woman adopted her. The woman who adopted the baby was there with a beautiful little girl, and the birth mother came out. And they had, I don't know whether they had met before or not, if I'm telling this story correctly. I wasn't planning on telling her, or I would have researched a little more. But I was so impressed with the joy that was there at that moment of the adoptive mother meeting and seeing the birth mother and the baby seeing the adopted mother and the birth mother at the same time. What a solution! A situation that would have been the death of a baby was a situation that turned out to be the birth of love and caring and great joy. And that's what God does. He changes things that are ugly and hopeless into things that are beautiful and filled with life, that living water. She may not feel worthy to seek God and ask for help. It's our job to bring them to Christ and offer His solutions. Jesus said, if you knew what I knew, you would ask it of me, and I have an amazing solution if you only knew. Beloved, you are the possessor of the information that a woman with an unplanned, unwanted pregnancy has, and we can offer that solution, not just the spiritual aspects of it, but the physical aspects of it. We know people who know. What we don't know, we know people who know who can get the job done. And we offer that to this woman. But we offer it wrapped in the mantle of the Christ child himself. Because without Christ, there's a short-term solution, but no long-term solution. So, finally, the last thing. Jesus revealed herself and himself. Verses 13 through 19. Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water that I give will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to come here to draw water. He told her, go, call your husband and come back. The moment of truth. Go, call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is that you've had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said, just said, is quite true, sir, the woman said. I can see that you are a prophet. Well, she realized she was with a holy man. What she did. The truth sets people free from unbelief and places them on the right track. The truth will do that. Jesus said the truth will set you free. I told this before, but I'm going to mention it again. I don't know how many people I've talked to about the Lord. I really don't. It's been a bunch. I've just been fortunate to be in situations and had the opportunity to talk to them. And I just don't care if people get mad at me. I really don't. But of all the people I spoke to about the Lord, I've only had one person ever turn me down. And I'm not a great persuader. I just read the scriptures and just explain it. I got 5 or 6 scriptures, and that's all I do. Just yet. But the power of God is so enticing that people will reach out for it, especially when they're hurting. One of the most amazing stories, I was in Wisconsin, putting in a hotel, and I told you this, but I'm going to repeat it again. Yeah, when you've been preaching in the church for over 20 years, you get to hear my stories repeated. But they don't lose its value, because I remember them and they make me happy. But I was working in the bullpen behind the front desk at the hotel. You know, the front desk is where everybody looks pretty. And good afternoon. It's so nice to have you at our facility. Yes, would you like a double or a king size room? Oh, your wife and children are here? You know, that's what you get in front. In the back, it's utter chaos. It's people running hand machines and computers and, you know, fussing and fighting, and it's a zoo. I was in the zoo working, and there's a door, like right here, that opened up, and this beautiful girl who worked in the front desk came in and used the most foul language. She used the, I'm not even going to use the initials, all right? That's how bad it was. And it caught me so off guard. I was pretty close to the door, and I said, "What in the world is a beautiful girl like you doing using that kind of filthy language?" I didn't even think about it. I just said it. If I'd have thought about it, I wouldn't have said it. I'm not exaggerating the story. Every click of every electronic gadget in that room stopped. No one, they had to be breathing, but I didn't hear any breathing. It was just silence. This gal was like a deer caught in the headlights. She just froze at that door. And she did what I would have done if I'd have done it. She spun around and went through the door out the other way. And since I had a group of people who now changed it from looking at her, was looking at me, and I said, "Well, what did you think you should say using that kind of foul language? You know, God didn't create us to be that way." Well, as soon as I mentioned God, I went, I went back to work. But that wasn't the end of the story. Because about 15 minutes later, and I had my head down going, you know, so there was a tap on my shoulder. I looked up, and it was that beautiful young girl. And she said, "Mister, can I talk to you for a minute?" And I said, "Sure." And there was an empty office right down from the bullpen. So I walked her down there, and she started crying. I mean, she bawled. And she said, "My life is a wreck. It's a wreck. They've taken my child away from me because I'm an unfit mother. And you know, my mother's been praying for me, and I don't know what to do." And she started, you know, unfolding this terrible story. And you know what I told her? I didn't tell her, you know, "Well, we'll get your baby back." But I just said, "Jesus Christ can solve your issues." She wasn't pregnant, but she was in trouble. And I told her the story about Jesus and asked her if she'd like to pray and receive Christ into her life. And she said, "Yes, I would." And I prayed with her, and she prayed. And, you know, it was a 20-minute conversation at the most. Her countenance changed right before my very eye. And I was up there for about, I guess, about another week and a half, 2 weeks working. And every time I saw that girl, she was so happy. And she said, "I talked to my mama, and we're making the getting back together." And she said, "I'm so happy." And I don't have the end of the story. But I tell you that because Christ really is the answer. Not our theology, not our great wisdom, but the old story of Christ. Jesus and his love and willingness to forgive everything we've done wrong. That's what Jesus offered this woman in Samaria. I'll give you living water that'll flow out through you and flow out to others. As a born-again believer, you have that living water in you. And there are people who are dying of thirst, and we can bring that water to them so that they'll never thirst again. That's what happened here. And Jesus told her about herself. And sometimes you need to say, the trail you're walking down is wrong. You're thinking abortion is the answer? It's murder of a child. It's not a fetus, it's a baby. If you leave it alone for 5, 6 more months, 8 months, whatever it is, you'll see I'm right. It's a baby. It's a beautiful baby with eyes and hair and hands and wants to love you. That's who's inside of you. We need to tell them that. Don't believe the story. It's just tissue to be thrown away in a garbage can in an abortion chamber. You're not going to be all right if you have an abortion. You're going to be sick. You're going to regret it. You're going to hurt. And you've murdered your baby. Those are the facts. You say it gently, but you say it if you have to. This is about her ability to solve her problems. Jesus said, go get your husband. He said, if he could solve her problem. And she said, well, I don't have a husband. That's right. He had 5 of them. It didn't work, did it? How's your life working, ma'am? How good are things for you? You're living in a promiscuous situation, you know? You're doing things you shouldn't do. How's it working for you? Well, it's not working for you, or you wouldn't be here in this situation talking to me. But God loves you, and God cares about you, and he has a solution. Jesus had the right answer, and he was willing to help her. The Samaritan woman said, well, give me your solution. Find a way. By the way, she got it part wrong. So give me your water in exchange for my water. So give me some of this water so I won't get thirsty again. She was thinking partially right and partially wrong. He wasn't talking about water for physical thirst. He was talking about water for spiritual hunger and spiritual thirst. Don't get upset if people don't understand everything you say to them, because they won't. But you just tell them what you know, all right? And let the Holy Spirit work that out. Nobody gets saved and knows everything. That's the way Jim Hickman told me. He said, the day before I got saved, I liked bacon and eggs. So the day after I got saved, I still liked bacon and eggs, even if it was bad for me. You know, you don't know everything. You change. God changes some things instantaneously, but other things he changes over a period of time. This woman had to face the fact that bad decisions led her to where she was. A pregnant woman may have some false religious ideas that need to be corrected. So, well, in my church, they said you have to do this, and I haven't done that. Well, I don't know about your church, but let me tell you what the Bible says. What the Bible says, and you share the Word of God. She can be changed and set free. Right. I'm an eternal optimist, okay? I really am. I live optimistically. But I believe that every woman in Louisiana who's pregnant, if she gets spiritual help, I believe that she'll be happy about it at the end of the day. That she'll get the right kind of help that she needs. That living water will quench that spiritual thirst and help her. I don't know what her solution may be. Maybe adoption, maybe having a baby. I don't know. I mean, we're not talking about a real life situation, just in general. The message needs to be given to someone who probably feels guilt about the situation, that God does not hold our failures against us. God isn't going to throw you out because you had premarital sex. God's not going to throw you out because you thought you wanted to have an abortion. God loves you just as you are, and He will forgive every sin you've ever committed or will ever commit. That is the love of God that's given to us in Christ Jesus. That is healing. Didn't it heal you when you found out? Weren't you healed on the inside when you found out about God's forgiveness and God's love and God's care for you? It's an ointment. It says in the Old Testament, ask this rhetorical question, is there a balm in Gilead? Is there something that can heal me? And the answer is yes, it's Christ Jesus. He is the balm of Gilead. For the Samaritan woman, for a pregnant woman, for you, for me, for all of us. The spiritual solution is the explanation of Jesus. She needs to see herself, and she probably does. You need to expose Jesus to her. Jesus gave her the solution, Himself, and Jesus will reveal Himself to any pregnant woman who wants to hear about it. It's a big problem, beloved. You know, there's a lot to be done. We need to be working and praying and thinking about it. Jesus saw her need and help. He showed her a flawed solution, and He revealed Himself and herself. So, next week, I want to talk about invest what God gives you to help. Invest what God gives you to help. We'll talk about some things maybe we can do in a very practical sense. There's a practicality to this. But, you know the old expression, we used to use it when I was a fisherman. You know, you got a fish, you get a fish, you get a cut bait. You know, well, it's time to start fishing and start helping and doing what we can. It's the ball's in our side of the court right now. We need to do the injunction that was put up by the judge in Louisiana was overturned. The judge didn't have the authority to do that. They're still trying to do some fighting of the legal matters, but our wonderful Jeff, what's it? What is it? Landry. Jeff Landry is working hard for the babies of Louisiana right now to make sure that the abortion clinics are closed. This moment, as I speak, it's illegal to have an abortion. And if you do it, there are major federal Louisiana laws that will be broken if somebody tries to do it. So be prayerful about this. You know, really be contemplating it, thinking about it. If you read something, you get some ideas, pass them on to me. I don't have all the answers, but I want us to, you know, to study this out. I don't want us to be sitting around doing nothing, waiting for somebody else. One thing I've discovered in life, waiting for someone else will get nothing done. The only thing that ever gets done is the stuff we do ourselves. All right? So let's all stand, and we're going to be dismissed. I'm thinking about asking Cindy to come speak to us. She's a busy girl, but she's really got her finger on the pulse of this thing. She's speaking at the Slidell Ministers Association this coming Tuesday. So if you like, you can come to that. I mean, it's an open forum. You're all ministers of God. You're more than welcome to come. It's Tuesday at the it used to be Ohana Pier. It's 8 o'clock in the morning. For some of you, that's impossible, but it will be at 8 o'clock, and if you want to hear Cindy and some other people, this is kind of to be the topic of the day. Are we there?
The Ohana Pier is in the same shopping center as Italian Pie.
All of you know where Italian Pie is.
Yes.
Just look at the door of Italian Pie and go left. Can't miss it. It's at the end of the shopping center.
I want this information to be on Facebook.
What's that?
Trying to get the information on Facebook.
Oh, okay. Yeah, for anybody. Well, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're invited. If you're not, you're still invited because we'll lead you to Jesus, you know, before you leave. So, all right. But it is a minister's meeting, all right? It's not a church service. So, Father, we thank you. Thank you that on that day, over 2,000 years ago, Jesus, that you had this bright idea, I need to go to Samaria. And because you went, that woman was changed. And because she was changed, we're being changed. And we thank you for this wonderful account that was so meticulously penned by the Holy Spirit and preserved for us. We love you, Lord. We realize that this is a big deal, and we need your help, Father. You are more than able to give us all that we need to help these women and these babies in their precious time of need. Help us, Father. Help the rest of the pro-life people around the country as they change gears from no to yes. We thank you, Lord. In Christ's name, amen and amen. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord. Thank you for being here. Thank you for watching on Facebook and on YouTube. Bye. Hopefully I won't have this next week.